they look at India, they see that the caste system apparently is not working.
So that's it. Well, at present, the caste system in India isn't actually representative of the original Varnashram Dharma system. The original system was a cooperation, organized cooperation between four kinds of men, which are naturally there in society. Just like now, we can see there's some people working as laborers, some people working as merchants, and some people politicians and warriors, some are teachers. And originally they were organized so that the priests or priestly order were benefiting everyone by their teaching, and so that they could fully concentrate on that, they were not engaged in working for food or money. But what happened in this age was that the higher caste became fallen and they misused their high position, and instead of helping everyone by their teaching, they misused the position or exploited the position simply for selfish ends, and there became a conflict which was called the caste.
Vested interest. They
became.
Vested interest.
Vested interest. Yes. So then there was conflict between the lower and the higher, and it broke down. So what we're teaching is not actually the caste system as it is now, or it was recently, but it was...
You have also caste system in the Western country. You are not without caste system. There is a priestly class. So, there are politicians, there are industrialists, merchants, an ordinary laborer. Where is, how you can say there is no caste system in this country?
But at the, there may be the clergymen and the mercantile class and the soldiers and the laborers in this particular society, but this society is breaking away from that because they're not recognizing the clergy class of men, because nobody's going to church, nor is anybody giving any money to the church these days. This is why many churches...
No, first of all thing that you say, your charge is you're introducing caste. But the caste system is already there. How do you say that I have introduced it? That is my point.
That's my foolishness.
You cannot say that I am introducing. It is already there. As it is there in India, it is also everywhere. It may be under different names. The four classes are already there, everywhere. Even in Muslim, they have also got the peers, what is called, Maulana, priestly class. They have one. We are introducing the systematic caste system. The caste system is already there, everywhere. Maybe under different names. And it is necessary. The caste system is there. As a matter of necessity, you cannot abolish it. but it is now existing in a deformed manner. It should be systematic and organized. That we are trying to do. Not that a new thing we are trying to introduce. It is already there. Our proposition is that you priestly class, you must act exactly a priest, ideal priest. You are drunkard, you are woman hunter, you are doing everything nonsense, and at the same time you are passing on as priest. This should be stopped. The priestly class or the brahmanas, they should be trained up to become truthful, how to control mind, how to control senses, tolerant and very learned, knowing God also. These things are equal. They should be the first class ideal men. Similarly, the Kshatriyas, they must be fearless, they must be very boldly face fighting with the enemies. They must have the capacity to govern nicely so that people will not have any complaint against the government. In this way, they should be trained up. And the mercantile class of men, they should produce enough food grains, not motor tires. That is Shudra's business. Artisans, that is Shudra. The Vaishya's business is first to see that in the country there is enough food for eating, both for the human being and the animals. The human being should not complain that there is no sufficient food grains, therefore I am eating less. No, flesh is not for human being. They should live on food grains, just like dal. Dal is as good as meat from food value. If there is sufficient varieties of dal, they can eat, and they can make so many preparations. Palatable preparation. Why the price of food grains are increasing? Because there is shortage. If there is enough food, price will automatically decrease. Because everyone wants to sell. So the price will decrease. It will be so lavishly available that you can give food grains even to the animals like cows and goats and other so many animals. Let them eat up. That is the business of the market. And Goroksha, then another business is to protect the cows and to give them food nicely so that cows will give enough milk. And from milk, you know, so many nice preparations, all full of vitamins. So why they should be killed? You are killing the blood is not utilized, it's taking the flesh, but flesh is transformation of the blood, and milk is also transformation of the blood. So if you take, just like chana, it is as good as flesh, by taste, by benefit, as good as. So why, if you can take the flesh and blood in a human way, blood is transformed into milk, and from milk you transform so many good preparations. Kheer, jugar, barfi, pena, so many things. And this paneer, chana, and let the animal live peacefully. Why you are cutting the throat? You require some benefit out of the animal. Take this benefit. Why you should kill? If you leave, if you can better give better service, then why should I try to kill? What is this human civilization? Is that human civilization? I am getting service from you and I am cutting your throat. Is that humanity? What is the answer?
It's animal civilization.
Mm-hmm. Anyone who takes milk, everyone takes milk. The cow is the mother. Mother gives milk. And the mother, when she cannot supply milk, the mother should be cut up. Is that very good philosophy? It is human philosophy. What is the answer?
No.
And so you could say that somebody wants to, say in your country, majority, they want to eat meat. So if you put that argument, then you can eat some lower animals. You can eat the pigs. You are eating also pigs, not in a mass scale. Mass scale, if you are Christian, you should follow your religious principle. Thou shalt not kill. This should be the principle. But if you are a rakshasa, if you want to eat meat, then at least don't kill the cows. You can kill others. Insignificant animals. And eat. You are eating all. You are eating everything. Except the moving cart, you are eating all moving animals. The car also moves, but you cannot eat. Otherwise, you are killing everything. You have become so civilized, rascal, that your business is to kill other animals than eat. You are so civilized. You are still in the crude form of human beings, just like in the jungles, the aborigines, the Africans. They do not know how to develop civilization. Crude method. Eat the animals. That also, they are not so uncivilized that they keep slaughterhouse. You are so uncivilized that you are keeping slaughterhouse regularly. These Africans or other jungle people, they eat meat, but they directly kill. They have no such civilization as to maintain a slaughterhouse. the tiger, they eat meat, but they do not keep a slaughterhouse. And you are civilized, you are keeping slaughterhouse. Why should you keep? The government should allow to keep a slaughterhouse. If anyone wants to eat meat, let them eat like tigers and others, individually, kill one animal, and let it. No, not cows. That should be the government law. You can kill one insignificant animal, like pigs or goats. It has not very much use. So you kill at your home, before your children, before your family, and eat. The government may not have any objection.
I think it's the anthropology teacher.
But why should you maintain slaughterhouse? So the agriculturist, the mercantile means they should produce enough food, give protection to the cows, and if there is excess, sell it, where there is no enough food there to produce, you can make business. That is the instruction given in Bhagavad Gita. Krishi Goroksha Bhavi Jam. That is really needed. Nobody is interested, everyone comes to the city. The mercantile class, they are doing business, big skyscraper building, and they have artificial money, paper, and they're, instead of eating food grains, they are maintaining slaughterhouse. This is not good solution. Come on.
Srila Prabhupada, this is Carol Cameron from the University of West Australia, and she is she has a degree in social work in arts, and she's working on a master's degree in anthropology. And in this degree, her paper is on the subject of the influence of Hindu and Buddhist mysticism on the West. So she would like to ask you some questions. This is our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
I would like to know, in the beginning, why you felt the need to come to the West. I know a little bit about the background, but not very much. Why you yourself felt the need to come.
That I was speaking, of course it is a very strong one, that Western people, they are claiming very civilized. But I have got objection. Therefore I have come to the West. Because, for example, the animal killing, the Western people are mostly Christians. Now, Lord Jesus Christ said that thou shalt not kill. But the result was that 2,000 years passed, but the people of the Western country, they're still killing. So when they have accepted Christianity, what is your answer?
But the actual original scriptures aren't enacted in Western life.
I mean to say that Lord Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill. So, what kind of men were there that Lord Christ had to request them not to kill? That means they were killers. Suppose if somebody is a thief, and if I give him some good instruction, I say, you should not commit theft. That means you are a thief. You are already. Otherwise, why I say that thou shalt not commit theft? A naughty child is disturbing, I say, my dear child, don't do this. Similarly, when Christ said, thou shalt not kill, that means he said amongst people who are in habit of killing. Is it not? Now, after taking instruction from Christ, first of all, they killed Christ. That means they could not understand the instruction. Their first business was to kill the instructor. And after that, 2,000 years passed, is still that killing. So when they have accepted the teachings of Lord Christ, can you answer this?
So you think the Christian faith, as it's been reflected in the behavior of Western
people, is that is practical. You are maintaining huge slaughterhouses, regular killing. So you took instruction from Christ, thou shalt not kill. You first of all kill him, and then the killing process is going on upon the animals and declaring wars every now and then. So the killing business is going on regularly, in your regular life also. You are maintaining big, big slaughterhouse. Then when you accepted the instruction of Christ, that I want to know. What is that debt?
Do you see any hope for the world? We seem to be moving towards destruction or hold.
No,
He's asking you, when did this civilization actually accept the teachings of Christ?
When have they? Yeah. Not overall at all, only in small pockets. Never overall.
Then why you are claiming that you're Christian, just like you are having a cross? That is the sign that you kill Christ.
Mm.
The cross is the killing symbol of Christ.
This is the resurrection symbol.
Maybe.
Then it's not
but
a
many priestly order, they carry the cross. Cross is the sign where Lord Jesus Christ was killed. Is it not?
It is, but that symbol is used in a lot of ways.
That means how you killed Lord Jesus Christ. That is the sign. That reminds you that you killed. You accuse the Jewish people, they killed. But you are also killing. Although you are claiming Christian. So therefore, I want to know, you are a learned scholar. When you abided by the order of Lord Jesus Christ, that is my question. When?
When did you abide by the orders of Jesus Christ?
When did I?
Every one of you, wisdom. Mm-hmm. And if you have abided by the order of Jesus Christ, then why you are systematically killing? The order is thou shalt not kill.
It reminds me of the Gita, you know, where Arjuna is on the battlefield about to commit an organized sort of killing against his relatives.
Now 2,000 years passed, but he could not accept the instruction of Lord Jesus Christ. And you are all claiming that you are Christian. When did you accept Christianity? That is my question. Because you are disobeying the order of Christ. Then when did you accept? 2,000 years passed. We'll answer this.
Never. They never accepted.
What is the main part of your philosophy? Is it based on the Vedanta school?
No, this is no question of philosophy. You could not accept the simple instruction. Then where is the question of philosophy?
The question of mouth.
Yeah. You cannot understand the principles of life and morality that Jesus Christ instruction that thou shalt not kill. So how you become philosopher?
How is this love to be understood between people or through inner sort of communication with a higher self?
Srila Prabhupada said that could not understand the simple instruction, so where is the question of understanding philosophy, not love? Mm-hmm. Philosophy.
You have no love because you are accustomed to kill. Philosophy begins when you know that everyone is part and parcel of God, and everyone should be given the full facilities to live without injuring anyone for one's personal benefit. Pandita samadarshan. A pandit, philosopher means learned scholar. Not fools and duskers can become philosophers. Those who are learned scholars, thoughtful, they can become philosophers. But if one has no knowledge how to behave with other living entities, what is the meaning of becoming a philosopher?
How would you go about teaching this? This idea of love. How does one?
Love means that I want to eat something, and if I love somebody, then I will see that my beloved also eat. If you take something from your beloved, then naturally the lovers present things. Just a boy loves a girl, he presents something to the girl. So, if he accept presentation by others, we should give him also something. And if I have some confidential things, I must disclose it to the lover, and the lover is also expected. He should not keep anything confidential, he should disclose. These are the six reciprocal exchange between the lover and the beloved. If I love you because you are beautiful for my sense gratification, but I keep everything secret, that is not love. That is sense gratification, lust. These are the signs of love. Dadati, Pridiginati, Bhunti, Bhujayati, Jaiva, Gujjam, Akhati, Prichati, Cha, Saravidha, Priti Lakshana. Priti means love. These are the symptoms. Give and take, eat and give to eat, and open your mind and know the other part is mine also. This is love. The more you increase the six kinds of exchange, there's the increasing the love. Yes.
Do you think a man who says he loves God should withdraw from the world, say into a community or something like that?
And first of all, between two, then you can expand it. First, the love between, love means there are two, the lover and the beloved. So, the transaction begins between the two, then it expands.
How do you go, if you look at the two as, say, the creator and the person, would that be the two that you have in mind? How would you go about fostering that relationship?
She says, if you mean by the two, the creator and us, how would you go about fostering or increasing that relationship between us and
creator? Creator. Do you believe in Creator?
Impersonal Creator, yes.
Huh?
She says impersonal Creator.
Impersonal?
Yes.
Oh, what is that philosophy? Impersonal Creator?
Without any attributes that we can...
The Creator is an attribute. To become Creator, that is attribute. Yes. If I create this bell, I know the art, how to create a bell. So, this is my attribute. How you can say the creator is without attribute? This is false philosophy. I know how to create this bell. That is my artistic sense. That is my qualification. And how do you say, I am without qualification? As soon as you say creator, then he has got many qualities.
How can ignorance be removed? How can
the ignorant people, the ones who learn from the learned. If you have got this idea that creator is impersonal, that means you are not a learner. You have no knowledge. And this is the simple answer. As soon as you say creator, he has so many qualities. The bell, suppose I am ringing now, when the spring is loose, it does not sound. So others may not know. But one has created, you know, the spring is moving, now you wind it again. That means I know, ins and outs and everything. That is creator. So, if one is cognizant of everything, how he can be impersonal? What is this philosophy? Answer. You are philosopher.
Mm.
He says if the creator is, if one is cognizant of everything, then how can he not be a person? And the creator is cognizant of everything, so if he is cognizant, how can he not be a person?
Well, he would incorporate personal attributes.
He says he. He says he.
Yes.
But he is impersonal.
You know, it's the intellect and the emotion.
Yeah, how great ideas. And they're passing on philosophy.
She said he.
It contradicts.
Mm.
You say he, and again he's impersonal.
At the emotional level, it's a very personal.
So why should you emotionalize? You're a philosopher, you should talk very nicely.
Talking.
He said, why be emotional? You should, you are a philosopher, so talk very nice.
I didn't consider myself a philosopher.
What she just said was that he is impersonal, but he incorporates personal features.
If God is in everything, then the personal attributes must be part of him, is whatever.
So she says personal attributes are part of God.
But God is not just limited within.
You have no idea of God.
No. I don't think
He must be personal. As soon as you say He knows everything, He creates and so many other things, then these are all personal.
This
you
is
say
our
he. Mm-hmm. These are all personal.
This is only our idea of God, and not necessarily.
That means you have no clear idea of God.
Mm.
You have vague idea.
Mm.
So you have to learn what is God.
Do you think you can know the nature of God?
She says, do you think you can know the nature of God?
Yes.
You in an intellectual way.
You can know also.
You might know something in your heart, but not be able to express it, can it?
No, why not express? You can express it. If whatever is within your heart, if you cannot express, then you are not perfect. You must express what is within your heart very clearly. Not that I have got something within my heart and I cannot express, then my knowledge is imperfect.
So often our understanding moves sort of separately, the emotion, the heart.
Emotion is not required for scientific knowledge. Emotion is not useless. It must be actual. Emotion is no use. Emotion is useful in high ecstatic love. Not for scientific study of something you require emotion, no.
But in the bhakti way of doing things, this emotion and love are very closely intertwined.
Yes. That is higher stage. Not in the beginning. In the beginning, the devotion means I should be devoted to you. Why shall I be devoted to you unless you are worthy? One is just like Krishna says, you surrender unto me. So unless I understand that Krishna is worth for my surrendering, he is worthy. Why shall I surrender to Krishna? If I demand immediately you have come that you surrender, would you like to do that?
To surrender.
If I ask you that you surrender, I am meeting you for the first time, would you like to surrender? I don't think.
To want to and to do it is different.
No, unless you are fully aware of my abilities. Sleeping, the human being also sleeps, they also sleep. Then sex enjoyment, the human being also enjoys and the animals also enjoy. And protection from fear or becoming fearful. The human being is also fearful and arranges for protection, and the animal also does. So far, the primary necessities of life that is equal in animal and human being. But the human being has a special intellect developed than the animals, that he can understand what he is, what is God, what is this cosmic manifestation, and what is the aim of life, how we should conduct. These things are prerogatives for the human being. The animals have no such body. So if we do not utilize these special intellectual activities, then we remain animal. We do not make any development. So at the present moment, they are improving the method of primary necessities of life, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They are thinking the dog is eating on the floor. If we can eat on a table, chair, a nice dish, that is advancement of civilization. They are thinking like that. The dog is sleeping on the floor, and if we sleep in a very nice apartment, very decorated, that is advancement. The dog is having sexual intercourse on the street without any shame, and we are also coming to that point gradually. And if we have sex intercourse in the name of love and so on and so on, that is it. And dog is defending with his jaws and nails and teeth, and we are defending with atomic bomb. Therefore, we are advancing. But they have forgotten that the human being has got the special intellect to understand God that they are not utilizing. It's like you are going to be a doctor in anthropology, is it not?
Yeah.
And where is God? Sense of God there?
I only do it for a living, the other side...
No, I mean to say, the anthropology, it is a big scientific department. Where is the understanding of God there?
I don't find it difficult. I find it difficult to reconcile the love of God with actually doing something like this.
Then how are we going to speculate on anthropology? If you cannot adjust, how you are wasting your time in this science, anthropology. It is a false science.
I'm waiting to be led into something which is good.
There's no meaning.
When you, yes, you can only decide in
it's
your
whole theory, Darwin's theory, is a false theory.
Sound
background. He says it is theory. Theory is not science. I can propose some theory, it is like that. But that is not science. Science means observation and experiment. That is science. You observe how the rules are working, and when you practically bring them into experiment, then it is science. If you simply theorize, that is not science. Mental speculation. It has no benefit. You can speculate, constructing a castle in the air. That is not very good thing. You should present something which will benefit the people and practical. That is science.
Do you think it's possible to, within, say, an education framework, or should it be something quite separate?
Well, education, if it is not for the benefit of the people, What is the use of such education? That is not education. Education means something which will benefit the mass of people. That is education. To enlighten them, to do something better, that is education. And this whole Darwin's theory is false. But people are giving too much stress. First of all, anyone, even Darwin, he is not independent. And just like Darwin has died, and so he is under the control of something higher. Nobody wants to die, but he is forced to die. Is it not? Then where is his independence?
So illusion.
Hmm?
Illusion.
She says that is the illusion of independence.
Yes, so if you simply, in an illusion you live, then where is your education? If you remain in darkness, then where is your education? Illusion means darkness. So if you are in darkness, then where is your education? And where is your philosophy?
The only way to remove this darkness is through love. Is this what you were saying?
Love is far away. First of all, you be educated.
How? In what way?
Yeah, educated means right knowledge. Right knowledge, just like everyone wants to live, nobody wants to die. So, the inquiry should be that I do not wish to die. Why death is forced upon me? Which is, what is that force? What is the nature of that force? If I submit, yes, the force is there, then where is my knowledge? I do not wish to die. So why death is forced upon me? Nobody wants miserable condition of life, but miserable condition of life is enforced upon me. So this should be first of all inquired, that I do not want this thing. And who is enforcing upon me this thing? This is the question for Elijah.
I tend to approach from the other side and ask, who am I? What is this thing that I call?
It is everyone's problem.
Mm.
I don't want something, but something is enforced upon me.
Mm.
Just like you are now a young girl. You do not like to be old woman, but you have to become old woman. You stop it.
Old woman.
Nature will force you. There, after certain age, after 40 years of age, you must become old, and you must not remain so beautiful. This is force. But no one wants that. No woman wants that I shall look not beautiful, my flesh should be flabby and no luster. I don't want all this. Why it is forced?
The suffering and pain leads people to God, isn't it? This is a teaching.
She says, doesn't the suffering and pain lead people towards God?
Yes, that is the law. But we are so dull-headed that we do not inquire. That is my statement, that we should inquire who is forcing these things. And then that is inquiry of God. First of all, we must be just like a dog. He cannot understand. He is under chain. He is leading a life must depend on him. And he is jolly. He is jumping here and there. That is dog's life. That he is, his master kills him. He cannot do anything. But he is very jolly. He is jumping. That is dog's life. That is not human life. Human life is that I am dependent in every step, still I am declaring independent. What is this nonsense? This inquiry should be made. He is dependent in every step, exactly like the cats and dogs. But he is claiming, I am independent.
Is it possible to carry out that inquiry all the time while you're engaged in activity?
Yeah, that is the real inquiry. Where from my life has begun? What is the ultimate goal of my life? Why I am put into these conditions which I do not like? Who is enforcing these things? That is the proper inquiry of the human being. And we cannot solve the question of birth, death, old age and disease. And you are theorizing something, utopia. What is the use of such advancement or not? I live for 50 years and 60 years, and the Darwin theory, they are calculating gap of millions of years. There is a gap for millions of years. And you will live for 50 years. How you are taking calculation of millions of years? Speculation, something. And misleading people. An honest man should not mislead others. He should understand that his knowledge is limited. How can I say something, theorizing? That is not very good business. I'm misleading people. I have no perfect knowledge. I am theorizing. What is the use? I have no actually accurate knowledge. And I am theorizing, I am misleading people. Big bluff. That is it. An honest man should not take part in big bluffs. First of all, you must have accurate knowledge. Then you give knowledge to others. That is our proposition. First of all, make your life perfect, then you try to give knowledge. If you have no knowledge, vague knowledge, not definite knowledge, then why should you try to give knowledge to others?
Can you have perfect knowledge? Can you have perfect knowledge?
Yes.
I mean, ultimately you might say, I might be able to perhaps, you know, but it's still a big doubt. In the near future, how could you ever...
Perfect knowledge you can have immediately. Provided you take knowledge from the perfect. If you receive knowledge from a bogus person, then how we can have perfect knowledge? Knowledge has to be received from a person. Especially you go to school, college, teachers, guru, to receive knowledge. So if your teacher, guru, or parent, those are superior, if they are perfect, then you get perfect knowledge. But if your teacher is a bogus, then you get bogus knowledge.
And this is immediate,
isn't it? Huh?
This is immediate.
She says, is this immediate, the reception of perfect knowledge?
Yes, just like we are giving knowledge from Bhagavad Gita.
Mm.
This is perfect knowledge. You take it, you become perfect.
And your actions are perfect actions.
What is that?
And your actions are perfect actions.
Oh, yes. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, you have read Bhagavad Gita? No. It is said, manvana bhavamad bhakta, to think of God. So we are doing this, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. We are thinking of Krishna. The direction is there, and we are doing that. Therefore my action is perfect. If the physician says that you take this medicine in such and such dose, you don't do this and do this, if I follow, then I'm cured. Perfect.
Does a man then stop judging his actions?
No. If I know that the knowledge which I'm receiving from the person is perfect, then there is no question of judging. You simply follow.
So it's a matter of complete
just like
faith.
A child.
Mm-hmm.
Child assumes then my father is perfect. So, actually, a father should be perfect at least for the child. So whatever the father, mother gives him knowledge, that is perfect. Father says, my dear child, this is called table. The child does not know what is table, but he understands from his father. He says, this is table. So when the child says it is table, it is fact. This is perfect. He may be imperfect, his child, but because he is repeating the perfect knowledge of his father, so whatever he is speaking is perfect. Because he has received the knowledge from the perfect father. That in this way we can gather knowledge. Actually, the child inquires from the father, what is this? Father says, my dear child, this is called bell. If you push your hand in this, then he gets the perfect knowledge. He tries it, it is calling. The knowledge is there. He may be imperfect, but the instruction he has received, that is perfect. Similarly, if you get instruction from the perfect, then your knowledge is perfect. And if you receive knowledge, just like anthropology, from an imperfect person, Darwin, then the whole thing is imperfect. So why should we waste our time in imperfect knowledge?
Because there are so few people around us, I think you're perfect.
That is another thing. That people want to be cheated, so I shall be perfect cheater. That is another thing. And take my doctorate title, being a perfect cheater.
If you look for those who are perfect, you don't find them.
She says there are so few perfect people, if you look for a perfect person, you don't find any.
Therefore we are giving. Here is Krishna, here is the perfect person. You take him. But you don't follow him. Just like I began with, Jesus Christ is perfect, but you don't follow him. You don't like to follow him. You'll follow Dari. So whose fault it is? The perfect person's fault or your fault? You don't like to hear from the perfect person. You want to hear from humble, bogus person. Defect. Give him some prasad.
He's bringing something for you.
Is your record hanging out from the Radha Krishna temple?
You have that.
Beautiful. Mm. We sing the chants of Vinaya.
She says they have the Radha Krishna temple album and every night they sing the chants.
Where?
At home. They have the record from London.
Very
really
hard to get hold of. I wish there were more of them.
Yeah, that will benefit.
Lovely.
That will benefit.
Mm.
Mm. We can. They're available by mail from America.
I think a lot of people don't know it exists. That's the problem.
That record which has done by George Ezra.
Yes.
It's
very rare to find music like that here.
George Harrison has contributed many. He gave me first of all $19,000 for printing Krishna book.
Yes, sir.
Now he has purchased one house in London. We are using them. It is £200,000. Yes, he's a good boy, good soul.
You don't have a group in Perth, do you? It's actually
he also chanting Hare Krishna. Yes.
Mm.
He chants all the Hare Krishna. He has made some record, Krishna.
My dear Lord, I really want to see you. Something like that.
Like that. Yes. Krishna, yes, sir.
Yes.
His latest album. Krishna, where are you?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
When in the record album he has given this picture.
This is I'll go check.
So you are intelligent girl, you study about this Krishna consciousness. That will benefit. The anthropology, you may get some degree, a religion, but what is the benefit?
That's pretty good.
You
can keep this. Take the whole thing home.
Pardon?
Take it with you, the whole.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Inquire that 2,000 years ago you are taught that thou shalt not kill And your business is only to kill. I have come to inquire from you. What is your name? How you have become civilized? That you cannot accept one instruction of Jesus Christ. And you are declaring yourself as Christian and civilized. This is my question, answer. In 2,000 years, first of all, he began killing Christ. Never mind. Still 2,000 years passed. He could not stop killing. He could not accept the first instruction. What kind of civilized man?
Sometimes they say, Prabhupada, that Jesus meant just...
Meant just
human beings.
All right. That means you are killers of human beings. That means, in the beginning, you are all killers of human beings. And therefore you kill Jesus Christ. That is not very good quality. Killer of human beings, he says, thou shalt not kill. Where he says that thou shalt not kill human beings, that is your interpretation.
Well, that's obvious he meant only human beings because he himself was killing animals.
Mm-hmm. Christ was killing animals.
Well, he instructed his own disciples to distribute the fish. So he was also involved in killing
fish. But he has said that the fruits and vegetables should be your flesh. What is that?
Well, that was before Christ.
Huh?
He never said
he
that.
He also said that.
Where is he saying?
Yeah, the Bible says that, and Christ also spoke that, that the grasses of the fields, the fruits of the trees shall be your meat.
Then there is contradiction.
Mm. So then why? He was eating fish.
Yeah, the Christians, they always say that, well, Christ was eating fish and drinking wine, so what harm are we doing?
When did he say that thou shalt not kill?
That was also, that was actually the Ten Commandments. That was given by
given to
Moses.
By Moses.
Yeah.
Hmm?
That was given to Moses by God, the Ten Commandments.
That is not Christ himself.
Well, Christ enforced it, yeah.
It was accepted by him as one of the rules.
Christ's greatest commandment was to love God above all things. So if one is to love God, he must follow his instruction.
Okay. Who is following the instruction?
We are.
But, supposing Christ distributed his, but did he say that you shall maintain a regular slaughterhouse for killing animals?
He was against that.
Yeah.
He threw the men out of the temple because they were selling lambs in the temple to be offered to the at the altar. So he kicked them out, saying this temple is not a place for selling animals for slaughter.
Chickens too.
Yeah.
But in one place they say that Christ encouraged fishermen because he came and the fishermen were fishing on one side of the boat and Christ came along and said, oh, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. He said, put your nets on the other side and you'll get more fish. And they did that and they got huge amounts of fish. And so they were encouraged in their fish eating this way.
Jesus also said to the fishermen, he said, give up your fishing and I will make you fishers of men. He said this to his disciples.
Then on behold it comes that there's an instruction that sometimes contradictory.
Not only that, but they say that usually when it comes right down to it, the Bible has gone through so many interpretations and so many changes in the last 2,000 years that
it is very difficult.
People, I've talked to professors who know the original Hebrew and the original tongues that the Bible was written in, and they say that it's changed so much that you can hardly...
That's changing. That's like... It is said, thou shalt not kill. Then now changing, thou shalt not commit murder. They're doing that.
Yeah, they have a modern Bible using all modern terminology.
So when you change, then the authority is lost. It's like in our society, sometimes they do something nonsense and they prove what they say. Things deteriorate like that. Therefore Krishna said, sakalena mahata yoga nastakam. And in due course of time, this yoga was lost. Therefore, I am repeating the same thing all clearly to you. So it requires like that.
The one thing about the Christian religion is that through the last 2,000 years, Christ's original teachings may have been good teaching, may have been potent preaching, but because there was no potent preachers to carry on the preaching, therefore the whole thing has been lost. But if there are potent preachers to continue re-establishing and establishing the principles again...
Now I will find if everything is now changed, where you get the right influence.
That's the problem. That's why there's so many hundreds of branches of Christianity, literally hundreds. So many divisions of Christianity. Some people accept this, some people...
Therefore, we should advocate that Bhagavad Gita is not like that. It is coming in the same form as it was taught to Arjuna. If you challenge that, how you know that it has not been changed, the acharyas are there. The acharyas are there and they are accepting. Therefore it is correct. We have to follow the acharya. So when we see the acharyas are accepted, then we accept. All the acharyas, Ramanujarya, Madhvacharya, before that other acharyas also, they accept. They never say that this was not in the original speech. It has been changed. You don't find any such statement on the outside. Hmm. the best thing, therefore, if we want a religious system, Bhagavad Gita is coming without any contradiction, change for the last 5,000 years. We accept. Other scriptures are newly introduced, and there are so many doubts, so many interpolations. So, if you want real religious system, this is the scripture spoken directly by God and accepted by all the acharyas. So take it. If you are really after God, so you take enlightenment from this perfect scripture. If you want truth, it doesn't matter where from it is coming, I must accept it through.
The Christians openly admit that the Bible has been changed, but they also have a lot of doubt about
now,
our scripture.
No, they doubt the Christian religion is now dead. That we see practically. So many churches are not working. Nobody comes there. Nobody
comes. As they have seen that their scripture has been changed, they also have a very strong doubt about our scripture. They say, well, yours is even older than ours. So somewhere along the line they say it must have been.
But those who are followers of the authority, they do not see. You are outsider. It may be, it may not be, but you have no authority. You are simply taking a hypothesis, it may be. But those who are actually following, they do not say. You know, whose version is more important, your or God? You are outsider. You are simply suggesting because you had bad experience. But one who has no such experience, why he should follow your advice?
Actually, if anyone looks at Bhagavad Gita as it is, presented by yourself, then they can logically see that it is perfect.
Yeah. We have got our argument, logic, everything. Why should we be blind for our problem?
The results can be seen practically that those following the Bhagavad Gita, written by you, Srila Prabhupada, are giving up these nonsense activities.
Right. Letters are posted.
No, not yet.
Well, next time. You don't post.
Well, the next time someone goes in this evening, so you can post.
There is no letterbox?
There's not one close. I can post them tonight.
Night is easy, right? Nobody's coming to clear.
Yes, there's one collection at 8 o'clock in the night time.
Oh, then why not post there? It is 6.
Srila Prabhupada, if the knowledge was handed down by the saintly kings, even Bharambarapatam, how is it that the knowledge was lost? How is it that the knowledge was lost?
It was not handed down, simply understood by speculation. It is not handed down as it is. They might have made some changes. Or they did not hand down, so Suppose I handed it down to you, but if you do not do that, then it's lost. Now the Krishna consciousness movement is going on in my presence. Now, after my departure, if you do not do this, then it is lost. If you go on as you are doing now, then it will go on. But if you stop,
Please.